this new semester, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that last semester was great, but Lord God, this semester is going to be even better. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for what you're doing by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, that this final semester we will really solidify how to walk in honor and, Lord God, how to apply the application of honor principles in our lives so that we'll be better stewards, Lord God, better men and women of God who walk in integrity and walk in honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class. Give me a second here. All right, class, we're going to get right into our lesson on the spirit of honor. I trust that each and every one of you had a prosperous, blessed, successful, peaceful Christmas and New Year. We're starting off this semester excited about what God is doing. And we just thank you, Lord, that 2021 is going to be the best year ever in our lives. What I'm going to do today, because this semester we're going to actually be getting into examples in the Bible of honor and dishonor through people like Joseph, people like David, and what have you. But before we get into each individual character and how they displayed honor or dishonor, we're going to go back and we're going to look at some major principles that we talked about in 2020. Because one of the things the Lord impressed upon me is that even though the subject of honor on the surface seems really simple and very straightforward, you still have a lot of people who don't know how to or don't understand the importance of the application of it. You have to put honor principles in application in order for you to receive the benefits of honor, and that's so very important. So the application of honor principles in your life is what produces the results of honor to manifest itself in your life. You know, in other words, you have to apply it. The scripture says that we ought to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So it's very important that we apply by being doers of the word and being doers of the principles of honor that makes the difference in our lives. And with that said, I'm going to begin to share some truths that we learned last semester, but amplify on them a little bit with the time that I have so that we can really solidify the application of honor. The anointing of God, as we always said, always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. And when you position yourself properly, that anointing will flow down into your life. Now, it is very important that you stay in position. Whatever God has called you to do, whether it's a pastor, assistant pastor, minister of helps, praise leader, usher, a parking lot attendant, I tell people, that anointing that's on your man of God's life, that's on your pastor's life, on his apostle's life, it comes down from heaven and it flows to each and every person that aligns themselves properly in the things of God. And so the anointing of God always flows down. And I tell people it's so very important, it's actually vital, that you stay in your position, stay in your lane. I use the expression a lot of times, you know, the Bible says, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, so it's very important that you make sure that the house that you're in is the house that the Lord is building. In other words, you need to be in the proper ministry, under the proper man of God, and flowing in your God-given assignment. That's so very important. And stay in alignment with that assignment so that when the anointing of God, which is always flowing down, it's going to flow down in your life, and it's going to benefit you in every aspect of your life. So the anointing of God always flows down, and it's very important that we stay in proper position where God has called us to. Also, too, we talked about last semester about putting your mouth on a man of God by speaking negatively against him. You should never, under no conditions, put your mouth on a man of God. Even if what you're saying has some truth to it, or you know of some person who's you know, in the fivefold ministry gifts who may have fallen. I heard a very powerful man make this statement once. He said, if I can't say anything good about a person, it's best to say nothing. Because the minute you put your mouth on a man of God, you have dishonored yourself, you know. And by walking in that dishonor, now the curse, now what you have tried to initiate God to do in your life, God now has to put the brakes, because you're walking in the spirit of dishonor. So one of the things we talked about says, when you put your mouth on the man of God by speaking negatively about him, you are dishonoring him. And I said, that's something you should never do. That's a principle, and you always, like I said, always speak positive things. Amen. Moving on. You never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. I'm going to give you a real-life principle in relationship to that. Some 25, close to 30 years ago, when I first joined Word of Life Christian Center, this was even before Apostle Thompson had the revelation of the word that God gave him about money coming to the body of Christ. We had a guest speaker coming to the church, and he actually ministered, I almost want to say it was on a Saturday. And for some reason, that particular session, I had a $100 bill in my pocket. And as the man of God was ministering, and it registered so much in my heart, and it was a blessing to me, the Lord impressed me. And I'm going to share this about the Holy Spirit nudging you and urging you to do certain things and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is a person. But the Holy Spirit nudged me that $100 bill belonged to this minister who was ministering that day. And right after he finished ministering, I may have shared this before, but I want to bring it home again. He and Apostle went straight into Apostle's office, and I knew I had to get it to him. And so I went to the office in the back of the church, knocked on the door. Apostle came out, and I said, Apostle, the Lord, you know, impressed me to sow this $100 seed into the minister. And he said, okay, I'll give it to him. That was, I think, on a Saturday. By that Monday or Tuesday, my wife, who had been believing God for a job in her field in engineering, and she always wanted to work in aerospace or avionics. She had put an application several years ago for NASA out of New Orleans, working at what is called the Michoud Assembly Plant, which built at that time the external fuel tank for the space shuttle. She gets a call calling her in for an interview. And the guy said he was just looking back over his files of application, saw hers, and something about her application stuck out. Interviewed her. Within a week or two, she now is working her dream job. And the Lord told me, he said, that seed you sown had a direct effect on her getting that job. And when you are before a man of God, whatever you're believing for, when you sow into his life, God now is able to cause what you want to happen in your life or your family's life to manifest itself. You know, it empowers him now because of you sowing your monetary gifts. God now is also able to reciprocate. And whenever God reciprocates something, it's always better. That seed not only propelled and helped propel my wife's career, which she worked there for 18 years, but also my daughter, who, because my wife was working in aerospace, got interested in it also. Ended up going to school, getting her degree, and also just following in the footsteps of my wife. But instead of working in New Orleans, she actually worked at NASA in Houston in mission control for the last 4 or 5 years of the shuttle program, which was also one of her desires. But the key I want to get into is that a lot of times you don't understand the power of a sown seed. And you never know which seed you sow is going to bring forth the harvest. The Bible says, in the morning sow the seed, in the evening withhold not your hand. Because you don't know what seed it is. But when you are going before a man of God, it's always customary and proper to have a seed that you can sow into his life by honoring him. See, we're talking about the spirit of honor, but one of the things the Lord is impressing me more to do is to share some of my testimony of how the honor principles, that even though at the time I didn't even know they were honor principles, I was just being led, and that's another key element, by the Spirit of God. Something the author never really talked about, but I'm going to bring it out today. You know, he says, first and foremost, we are to honor God. But in honoring God, we also equally honor the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he's the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you listen to, you see, God is going to speak to you through the voice of the Holy Spirit. God is in heaven. You know, Jesus is sitting on the right hand on the throne of God, but he sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, to live with us and abide with us forever. He's the one that's gonna bring us into all truth, all reality. And when you spend time with God and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, acknowledging him as a person, then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, you know, is going to begin to give you rhema words or revelation knowledge that's going to begin to come up into your spirit with instruction. And when those instructions come up, it's imperative that you follow those instructions. You know, instantly obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's honoring God. Believe me, you know, when the Lord showed me that, he said, that's honoring God. When you instantly obey, because it's going to always work out well with you. I'll give you just a slight, small illustration of something that happened about a week or so ago. My wife and I, we were preparing to drive to see our son in Tampa, Florida, which we just got back from yesterday. And I was cleaning out our vehicle, getting it ready, checking out the oil levels, the transmission, making sure everything was fine. Never did start it, you know, cleaned the interior. I was about to go take it to the car wash to get the exterior washed. I put the key in the ignition. It didn't do anything. It just laughed at me. Nothing happened. It's like the car says, I'm not going anywhere. And immediately a panic came over me. What I'm going to do? We're supposed to be leaving tomorrow. Now, we could have went in the other vehicle, but the main reason for me going in my SUV was because I was going to bring my bikes. Me and my son was going to be doing some bike riding around the Tampa Bay area. He had some activities planned because he knew I like bike riding. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke, and a calm came over me. Don't operate in fear. Let the Spirit of God kick in. So I just sat there, and a peace came over me. And when I, the word says to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When I was quick to hear what the Holy Spirit got to say, a calm came over me. And he told me to go get my battery charger. He said, this happened once before with your wife. And if you remember, when she couldn't start the car, you told her to charge the battery because the battery may be a little low. And because I was cleaning the cars, the doors was open, the hatch was open. So the beeping noises of my car, because doors were open, was going off. I had headphones on, so I really couldn't hear it. And they were open for over an hour. So it inadvertently had lowered the battery level down. And now with the new vehicles, your battery has to be fully charged. But anyway, I charged the battery. Let it charge for about an hour. He said, let it charge for about an hour. And when it start up, go to the you know, the auto parts store and get you a new battery. That was my instruction from the Holy Spirit. Instead of trying to call a mechanic or get the car towed in, he told me just to charge my battery. When it starts, go get you another battery. So I did, and we had a great trip. Hadn't had no problem. Instantly obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is so very important. You know, because the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, so one way to honor God is by obeying the Holy Spirit, because he's going to lead you and guide you. That's honoring God. Now, if I would have went the natural route, one of the things I've learned about when you decide not to obey the Holy Spirit, he's going to stop speaking to you in those areas, or it's going to be harder to hear him. But when you instantly obey the Holy Spirit, the next time you run into a situation when you don't know what to do, you know, then you're going to be like Joshua, but my eyes are on you. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, either in a still small voice, or sometimes even in an audible voice, or just unction in your spirit, will give you instruction. That's honoring God. Amen. Let's move on. Sowing seeds of honor, as we stated last semester, is an established kingdom principle based on the law of sowing and reaping. And it's backed by the scripture in Genesis 8 and 22. We're talking about, well, let me go ahead from my Bible, and we're gonna read that scripture right quick, because I don't want to misquote it, but this is the foundation for sowing seed. If you don't know any other scripture in regards to sowing, this is the one you need to know. Genesis 8 and 22. It says, "While the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease." So as long as the earth remains, there's cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, the law of seed time and harvest is going to be in operation. And like I said earlier, you don't know which seed that you sow that's going to bring forth the harvest. But when you sow honor seeds, you know, when I say honor seeds, I'm talking about sowing into the anointing. There's not a Sunday go by, or a Tuesday night go by, or any special meeting go by that I do not sow into my man of God. I make it a point. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you another real-life illustration. Several weeks ago, my wife and I went to the ministry, to the church, because we wanted to speak with the dean of the school, Reverend Leroy Jr., about some financial matters. And he gave us really good sound advice. Now, when I left, I had already put a seed in my pocket, and I was already prepared to give the seed upon receiving the advice. And we got to talking and sharing. He asked about the family and everything. And so after it was all said and done, we got up and started to walk away. Now, this is also a second key factor in having a good wife who has your back. The minute we got up and started to walk away, my wife looked at me, says, "Aren't you forgetting something?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I reached in my pocket and I sowed that seed, because the advice he gave us was worth way more than the seed that I sowed. But I didn't want to leave his presence without sowing a seed of honor. You know, And you see, every time you do something like that, God puts that on record. You know, the law of Genesis 8 and 22 is going into operation in your life. And you'll never be broke another day in your life. Not to brag, but if there's any bragging to be done, I'm going to be bragging on Jesus, bragging on the Word of God, bragging on my man of God for giving me instructions and insightful revelation that I've been applying that makes a difference in my life. But, I mean, I've been retired for almost two and a half years now, and I don't want for any good thing. God has blessed me, you know. Matter of fact, even after I retired, almost a year and a half later, I get a call wanting me to come back and reestablish or get the program that I had set up back in the, because it had kind of fallen off. And prayed about it. The Lord said, "Son, you know, you gave them 37 years. You know, it's time for you to do some things, some other things." So I called him back, told him I wouldn't. I'm sorry, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. You know, I didn't have to go back. I didn't need to go back. Why? Because my seed that I had placed in the ground is the thing that had been sustaining me. And it's going to thing that's going to continue to sustain me. Amen? You know, so seed sowing is an established kingdom principle based on the law of sowing and reaping. You know, always, you see, honor is the atmosphere we breed in the apostolic. You know, and that's so very important that we understand that. When you sow seeds of honor, you're breathing in the atmosphere of the apostolic. What I mean by that is, that's how we function. You know, the world has different ways of functioning in the financial world. But in the spiritual world, as you sow into the anointing that's on your man of God is going to come down on your life, and it's going to sustain you and your family. One of the things I always state, and my time is just moving, and I'm not even partially even into some of this stuff, but I wanted to take the time to share some personal experiences because you need to know that honor and honor principles work. And it may not happen automatically. It may not happen next week. It may not happen next year or the next 5 years where you begin to see the results. But one of the things I want to talk about is being consistent. Consistently and consecutively sowing honor. Consistently and consecutively looking at ways to be a blessing and to sow honor seeds and honor principles that's going to not only just propel you, but your whole family. The last 2 weeks, Christmas and New Year, the week before Christmas and into New Year and just recently, you know, I was in Houston with my daughter, my son, and my son-in-law, my grandson. He's about 16 months now, blessed and just having an awesome time. With them, they just bought a new home and doing well and prospering, you know. And I know that her blessing is spillage for my blessing, because she obeyed me. She honored my kids, honor and respect me. They always make sure daddy is taken care of. Daddy, do you need anything? Daddy, you know, what can I do? But you see, I saw my physical father do that with his mother. There was not nothing that my grandmother didn't need, my father wouldn't bend over backwards to provide for her. And that radiated in me. And then when I got to Word of Life and an apostle began to talk about sowing into the anointing, it only magnified that, the importance of it. You know, my mom, my physical mom is still alive. And there's not nothing I would not do to make her comfortable, to make her content. I mean, she's at a point in her life at almost 87 years old where she needs some attention. She has sitters. We've got sitters come in twice a day. They feed her. They make sure she's you know, all her needs are provided for, and we keep her comfortable. And every time I'm there, she'll look at me and she said, "Baby, I just want to let you know Mama really love you." And on the inside, you have no idea what that does for me. Because I know she's satisfied and content, but also, too, I know that I'm sowing honor into her life. You know, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. You know, not that his brothers weren't honorable, but he was more honorable. And God granted him what he requested because he was more honorable. You know, he showed more honor. You know, not that it's a competition or anything, but if your parents are still alive, if your grandparents are still alive, you know, even your man of God, make it a point to show honor. Honor, the Bible says, honor those who are deserving of honor. Because as we said, they are life sources and they are custodians of life. And so it's very important that we honor those who God has placed in our lives. And what happens is, like I was saying, this past 2 weeks, you know, me and my son went bike riding in Tampa, around Tampa Bay. I had the time of my life, had million-dollar homes on one side of me, a beautiful lakefront view on the other side of me, having a ball. And just looking at the houses and says, "I'll be back. I'll be back." And believe me, God is going to bless me. I just know it because, you know, when you apply the principles, it's just a matter of time, you know. But anyway, let me move on. Let me move on. All right, let's talk about this other principle. Anytime dishonor is displayed, listen up, it will inhibit, which means it will, when you inhibit something, it decreases it. It will inhibit, it will short circuit. When a circuit is short circuited, the power won't flow like it's supposed to. Anytime dishonor is displayed, it will restrain. When something is restrained, it's keeping it from going forward, it's holding it back, you know, or it will block. You know, when something is blocked, it can't move forward. Anytime dishonor is displayed, the action or the process of the blessing flowing down in that person's life is inhibited, short-circuit, restrained, and blocked. So, you know, that's what dishonor will do. It will short-circuit God's power, God's blessing from flowing down, you know, like I said, that, you know, of the heaven to earth connection from God, the apostolic, to your pastor, you know, the father, your physical father, you know, you down to your children and your children's children. You want to make honor become a legacy in your household, a legacy to your family, you know, where they see the benefits of honor. They see the importance of, and sometimes they may not even understand the whole ramification of what honor is about, but they understand the principle. And they know, you know, Daddy did this for me. You know, I'm going to make sure that I do what I need to do to my father, to my mother, or to my man of God, you know, because there is a blessing. God, you know, that old Baptist hymnal song, the more you give, the more he gives. No matter how hard you try, you can't beat God's giving. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact, Jack. You can't, you know, because God, it's his desire to bless us. But in order for him to do it, we have to walk in honor. Let me move on. I got 13 minutes to go, and I still have, I'm just on the fourth or the fifth point. All right, well, point five, point six. And basically the definition of honor. Honor is one who has high esteem or high public reputation. Honor is one who has notoriety and recognition. Honor is one who has certain privilege conferred upon them in lieu of their anointing, their gifting, and their rank. You know, and when you see somebody who have high recognition and notoriety physically or spiritually, it's customary that you honor them. When the President of the United States walks in a room, out of respect, you honor them, you stand up. You know, I've shared before, there's times I've been to meetings where mighty men of God, this one apostle, one of the first apostles I'd ever met or seen, was in an auditorium full of people, several thousand people. He walks on stage, my wife and I, sitting maybe on the fifth or the sixth row, I can't remember where we were, but out of respect for the anointing that was on his life and all the thousands, maybe millions of people that he had shared the gospel with, we stood up. And the minute we did, I look around, and everybody else was sitting down all nonchalantly. But I was, you know, I was taught to show honor to whom honor is due, you know, because here before me was a mighty man of God who was fulfilling and had fulfilled the call of God on his life. Nothing more important than fulfilling the call of God on your life. If you want to honor God, you fulfill that call of God on your life. Let me move on. All right. This principle out of Matthew 13 and 57, and this is Jesus saying that a prophet is without honor, say it in his own country and his own house. He is literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. You know, don't let your local pastor or if there's an apostle in your area because of the fact that you know them and you've been familiar and you've watched them grow, don't never let your man of God become too familiar with you. You know, I don't want to be buddy-buddy with Apostle Thompson. I don't want to be best friends with Apostle Thompson. I want to keep the distinction of him being my man of God, that God has his word in my mouth, and that I honor and respect him even more so than the President of the United States or any high-ranking official, because I know that God has appointed him to me to be my man of God, to speak to me words of God that's going to enrich and has enriched and blessed my life. So, you know, don't let your pastor, your apostle, you know, become too familiar to you to where you think they're just common, because they're not. From a spiritual point of view, God has sent them. And one of the last, I'm skipping to the back because this also goes hand in hand with what I just said. Sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the Father, your spiritual Father, releases the blessing that God has for you. I'm going to read it as I have it here. Sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing. Sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been sent and empowered to convey and transfer the impartation that they need. That's so very, very, very important. You know, knowing that concept, you know, that your word is in your man of God's mouth. And when you honor and respect that, you cannot help but be blessed. Amen. All right, let me move on. Never dishonor a life source. You know, life sources are those people who give life, who nurture life, who cherish life. You know, and you're saying, you've covered all this last semester, but my question to you is, are you applying that? Are you putting that in operation? Yeah, you might know it. Knowing something and applying it is two completely different things. You know, make it a point to apply these principles. Make it a point to apply these principles. Never dishonor a life source. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. As I stated, never dishonor a life source. I stated this earlier. A great man of God made this statement. He says, if I can't say nothing good about a person, I won't say a thing. I'm not going to open up my mouth, you know. But as far as a life source, somebody who walks in honor and notoriety and recognition, you want to honor them. Amen. Glory to God. Because all life comes from God, because he is the source of life. And the anointing of God always flows down. And when you blatantly dishonor, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, you know. And based on how you use your tongue and speaking either blessings or cursing will determine a lot about your outcome or the blessing or the curse that you might walk in by what you say out of your mouth. I'm just telling you what I know. I'm not just saying things that I've read in a book. I'm telling you things that I've heard, experienced over the last 61 years of my life. You know, so believe me, it works. I'll never forget something the apostle told us years ago. There was a man of God who was local in this city who had some allegations against him, had fallen, and he from the pulpit told us, do not put your mouth on him. Whether it's right or wrong, you know, he's ministered to thousands, hundreds of thousands, led hundreds of thousands to the Lord. Even though he messed up, he's still God's anointed. Saul, even though Saul messed up, David says, I will not touch God's anointed and be guiltless. You know, in other words, even though I know he made some mistakes, but he is God's anointed. David says, you know, he had opportunities, and when he almost dishonored him, he was so hurt that he even cut, I think, something off of his robe. David says, I can't do it. I will not dishonor him. He won't do it. Let's move on. All right, let's talk a little bit about pride. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are all defined, as we know, as the spirit of Leviathan. Pride is the number one thing that'll keep you from walking in humility. And humility and honor goes together, because before honor comes humility. You know, humility is simply, humility is simply knowing and understanding. I just had to reset my clock. I wanted to make sure I got 5 minutes and 34 seconds. I had to stoop down here to reset it. But humility is simply obeying God humbly, you know. And I use the word humility is when you submit wholeheartedly to the will of God, to your man of God. And I use the word submission because when you humble yourself, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. You know, humble means Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man in the whole earth. Moses, according to God, says, God says, I speak to him mouth to mouth, not in you know, similitudes or shallow speech, you know. So he got on Miriam for getting on Moses because Moses was walking in godly humility. And Moses, as the author says in the book, was the only person who could pray for Miriam, who had got out of order, because God would hear his prayer because Moses walked in such godly humility. You know, so walking in godly humility is very important, you know. And as I said, the opposite of humility is pride. Pride goeth before the fall, you know. There's a scripture. Whatever sins you retain will be retained unto you, and whatever sins you remit is going to be remitted unto you. Never let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, matter of fact, there shouldn't be no wrath. But if you do get angry, get it straight before the sun goes down. There used to be a song by a group called DC Talk. Always get it straight before the sun goes down, because it'll cause pride to develop, you know. And you need to, like the scripture says, let it go. And when you let it go, it's going to be remitted. But if you retain it, even though you're not the one at fault, it's going to eat you. It's going to eat you up like a cancer, because it just grows. And that's where pride is going to come from, you know. But if you stay in humility, you're not going to have that problem. Amen. All right, let me move on. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride doesn't consider prayer an important thing. But not only just prayer. I was meditating on that. They don't consider humility an important thing, because they don't walk in humility. If they're influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride, they don't consider walking in love an important thing, and they definitely don't consider forgiveness an important thing. So, you know, a person who's influenced by the spirit of Leviathan doesn't consider prayer, humility, walking in love, or forgiveness important, you know, into their spiritual life, because it's all about them. One of the things, you know, people, and so if it's all about you, you need to check yourself. You know, it shouldn't be all about you, but it should be all about God and all about what God is doing in your life. I can see I'm not going to finish. I have 2 minutes and 15 seconds, but we'll try to make a stab at it as much as possible. To defeat the spirit of pride in our lives, we must walk in the spirit of humility. Humility, well, it's the diametric or the direct opposite of pride is humility. You know, Miriam walked in pride, Moses walked in humility, you know, bottom line, you know. And Miriam had to be cast out of the camp for so many days, you know, because of her coming against Moses, because of pride, because she felt Moses had overstepped his boundaries by marrying the Ethiopian woman, which God says, if God don't have a problem with it, you shouldn't have a problem with it. You know, God says, I deal with Moses, don't you? You know, you never want to correct a man of God. You know, that's God's place. Amen. All right, let me move on. And I talked about this earlier. When you honor the anointing in the land, you give an offering or sow into a local apostolic gift in that region. And I share with you about the time Apostle had a special guest who was an apostolic gift to the body of Christ, and I sowed into him and what that did. You know, but there's times we've been other places, and there was a man of God there. We made efforts to sow into his life, because the anointing on his life is going to also come down on your life. Amen? All right. Lastly, let me try to get this. I got a few seconds. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. How does one become an elder? By, a lot of times people want double honor, but are they willing to faithfully and consistently serve over a period of years? I've been a member of Word of Life for right at 30 years. And I thank God, I trust God that I've been faithful and consistent at serving my man of God over that time frame. By staying hooked up or staying with my appointed assignment, whatever God has called you to do, stick with that assignment. Stick with that assignment. Give me a second here. That's telling me that my time is up. We'll talk about a little bit more about this next week. I thought I had shut it off, but it's still going. But I just thank God. My wife is not here to help me out, but that this teaching has blessed you, and I'll see you next week. Be blessed and walk in humility so that you can walk in honor. Amen.